Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. Busy, busy day. Easter, MLK's anniversary, and my brother's birthday were all on Sunday. I hope you all had a great holiday and had many colored eggs bestowed upon you. Praise be to Egdrew Yang. Anyway, we've got a lot of green energy and UBI news to cover, so let's get hunting. Quick shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If any of you out there want to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. The Biden administration recently announced a goal of deploying 30,000 megawatts of offshore wind turbines nationwide by 2030, enough to power 10 million homes, and said it would accelerate permitting of projects off the Atlantic coast and prepare to open up waters near New York and New Jersey for development, as well as offer $3 billion in federal loan guarantees for offshore wind projects and invest in upgrading the nation's ports to support wind construction. New York and New Jersey have committed to a combined 16,500 megawatts of new offshore wind power by 2035 to help meet their own targets for cutting emissions. Biden's new goal would create approximately 44,000 new jobs in the offshore wind sector and another 33,000 indirectly. The Biden administration also took a key step in approving an environmental review for the first large-scale offshore wind farm in the U.S. off the coast of Massachusetts. This proposal is for 84 large turbines capable of 800 megawatts and is slated to come online by 2023. Similarly, Yang has endorsed a privately financed $250 million geothermal power plant proposal to build a green energy plant for Queens residents and businesses. It would be the centerpiece of a pilot green energy district, an idea successfully executed in other cities such as Toronto. It's estimated to create over 1,000 jobs and includes job training and scholarships for Queensbridge residents. If you've ever wanted to understand just how restrictive and demeaning the Supplemental Food Program for Women, Infants, and Children, aka WIC, is, watch the short video in the links below. It's truly eye-opening, all the more so when you consider all the time and energy that is wasted on this bureaucratic BS and the dehumanizing effect of telling people exactly what they can and can't buy, down to the portion sizes and slicing format. It's a perfect example of a program that should simply have the conditions removed to turn it into a more effective, efficient, and humane basic income. Last December, Evan Lowe introduced a bill called AB 65 in California, which calls for $1,000 a month to about 58% of Californians, specifically those 18 or older, not incarcerated, resident of California for over 3 years, and gross income less than twice their country's median. It's a problematic bill for a couple of reasons. On the good side, it's a basic income, less conditional than other welfare, and estimated to cut poverty by a whopping 83% in California, which currently has the highest rate of poverty in the U.S., as measured by the Supplemental Poverty Measure, which accounts for cost of living and other factors. 17% of Californians are in poverty by that measure. Bill AB 65 would cut it to 3%. It would also reduce inequality by 26%. Huge progress, to be sure. The bad is that it's both means-tested and geo-tested, meaning how much you get is conditional on both your income and location. As you have to be under twice your county's median income to receive it, this bill would actually incentivize people to live in counties that already have high cost of living due to overcrowding. It would amplify that existing issue rather than mitigating it as a true UBI would. As well, it provides no means for funding the basic income aside from a 1% tax on incomes above $2 million, which would cover less than 1% of the cost. Unlike the federal government, states cannot print money, so running up a deficit is not sustainable. It would have to be funded by increasing taxes, and that's never popular. This bill demonstrates the pitfalls of UBI legislation at the local level. It's empirically better to give universally and tax back progressively from those above a certain income than it is to means test, as means testing excludes some who need it and creates bad incentives from welfare cliffs, which leaves some people losing money by raising their earned income. but taxes have to be raised more to give universally, and raising taxes is a hard sell, even if the vast majority would come out ahead in the balance. It's tempting to set the amount by region as cost of living varies, but this creates bad incentives as well that distort the free market and exacerbate existing imbalances. It's for these reasons and more that it would be enormously better to pass a flat federal UBI that is deficit funded, and getting recurring checks into the infrastructure package is the last big hurdle to securing that UBI. But one of the best ways to do a tax-funded UBI would be to combine today's topics of UBI and green energy into a carbon tax, with all of the proceeds returned to the people evenly and unconditionally. It creates market incentives to move away from fossil fuels while also funding a UBI. Who could ask for more? And 29 members of the House just passed a bill to do just that. The details of H.R. 2307 are yet to be released, but it's a reintroduction of the previous Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. This is legislation that everyone should get behind. Let your representatives know that you support it. Good news from Italy, where their Senate just passed a $250 a month child basic income with a vote of 227-4. The details are yet to be decided. It may replace some existing benefits like Romney's child allowance would have, and may include means testing as Biden's does, but any move toward unconditional cash is a good one, and it's fantastic to see the child allowance spreading around the world. Very pleased to report as well that Senator Dick Durbin, Majority Whip and Chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, has joined the call for emergency UBI by adding his name to Wyden's letter. Keep pushing, your representatives, gang. It really does work. Finally, I want to direct you to the UBI Master Directory, a Google Docs project of some enterprising UBI advocates to help easily find any information you are looking for on UBI. It's not finished, but it's a great repository, and you can help it grow. I think we can all appreciate just how much important information there is out there on UBI, and how nice it would be to have a well-organized, one-stop shop to refer to. Bookmark the directory and explore it. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Bookmark and share Yang's energy project, the WIC video, the carbon tax rebate, the Italian child allowance, and the UBI directory. Thank Durbin for joining the movement for recurring checks. Flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the Resist Bot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way, and don't forget to Yang Daily.